Yes, this is a special edition of the Emmaus Bible Hour. Our guest teacher from North Carolina is Harold McKay. We believe you'll be helped by his teaching of personal evangelism. This is a special program of the Emmaus Bible Hour. Gather your family around as we open the Bible to see what God has to say to us through His Word. In this study, we shall consider the importance of personal evangelism. We shall seek for the answer to the question, why is it important that I engage in personal evangelism? Referring to the lesson manual, you'll find many cogent reasons presented, reinforced by a multiplicity of scripture references. Study these carefully. In this lecture, I want to meet the question, why is personal evangelism important, with a threefold answer. First, because it is pleasing to God. Second, because it is paying a debt to man. Third, because it is a way of promoting personal spiritual growth. Let's consider these together. First, it pleases God. The God of the Bible is the God of salvation. He is so spoken of in both Old and New Testaments. 6 times the prophet Isaiah uses this lovely title, and the Apostle Paul, in his later writings to Timothy and Titus, seem to revel in it. It might be well at this time to remind ourselves that salvation is not a plan, but a person. And in our personal evangelism, we are not seeking so much to explain a plan of salvation as to introduce to the person of the Savior. One cannot consider the inexpressible gift of His only Son by our gracious God without realizing how deeply He desired the salvation of lost men and women. The prophet Ezekiel in Old Testament days and the Apostle Paul in New Testament times both gave expression to the deep desire of God's heart for the salvation of the lost. Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 33:11. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:2-4. The poet caught this deep yearning in the heart of God when he penned the lines, From heaven his eye is downward bent, still ranging to and fro, where'er in this wide world of sin there roams a child of woe. And when that sinner chooses wrath, God wails his hapless lot. Deep breathings from his heart of love, I would, but ye would not. With these evidences of the desire of God before us, and there are many more, we cannot doubt but that God is well pleased with every effort that is made to win the perishing to the Savior. Would you spend your time, your strength, your ability in such a way as to please God? Then you can rest assured that you are pleasing Him when you seek to engage in personal evangelism. But you'll not only be pleasing God, which certainly should be our prime motive in all that we do, but you'll also be paying your debt to men. In the first chapter of his epistle to the Romans, verses 14 and 15, Paul wrote these words, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. The fact that God had saved him and had made known to him the soul-saving gospel of Christ convinced Paul that he was indebted to all men to share with them the good news of salvation through Christ Jesus. Undoubtedly, Paul had a special stewardship of the gospel committed to him. But all who know experientially the salvation of the Lord are under obligation to tell their fellow men about the Savior. When we consider the value of a precious soul, as indicated in our Lord's words in Mark 8, verses 36 and 37, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? When we grasp even in some small measure the endless eternity of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth that awaits the impenitent, described by our Lord in Matthew 25:46 as everlasting punishment. When we realize the brevity of life, likened as it is to an early morning vapor in James 4:14, and its uncertainty, so that we are warned in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. When we are impressed with the fact that salvation is a passing opportunity, which must be taken advantage of at the present or missed forever, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. When these eternal verities grip our hearts, we realize that whatever else is important in our lives, it is all important that we engage in personal evangelism, counting on God to use our feeble efforts for His glory. What an example our Lord Jesus Christ was in this. Weary and tired from His journey, our Lord sat by Sychar's well long ago. It was well within His power to bring the refreshing water from the depths of Jacob's well, but He would not exercise His miracle-working power to meet His own needs, even though He did for others on various occasions. His disciples were off to the nearby town to replenish their stock of food. But our Lord's hunger and thirst went deeper than for physical food and drink. His deepest longing was for the salvation of precious souls, so that we find Him engaged in a conversation with a Samaritan woman, which led to her conversion, and eventually to that of many of her townsmen. What a skilled fisher of men our Lord was! How much we can learn from a careful perusal of the incident recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 4, and how encouraging to us to realize that, when we are engaged in personal evangelism, we are emulating the example of Him who did always those things that pleased the Father. But personal evangelism is not only important because it's pleasing to the Father and paying our debt to men, but is a means of promoting our own spiritual growth. The new birth is the beginning of the Christian life, but is only the beginning, and should be followed by a life of steady growth in the things of God. Only in this way can we be completely pleasing to our Heavenly Father and fully accomplish that for which we have been saved. Babes are beautiful, but stunted dwarfs are tragic. We all need to heed the exhortation of 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. But food, even the very best, is not sufficient in itself to ensure growth. There must be exercise. This is widely recognized in the physical realm, and it's just as true in the spiritual. If we are to grow, we must feed continually on the Word of God, but we must also exercise ourselves in profitable spiritual activities. In the 5th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, we have reference made to the development of spiritual discernment through the proper exercise of God-given senses. And Timothy was exhorted to exercise himself unto godliness, 1 Timothy 4:7. Personal evangelism can provide an excellent means of such necessary exercise, and thus help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It will exercise our minds as we apply ourselves to the study of the message of the gospel and to the best means of bringing it to others. It will exercise our memories as we diligently store up passages of Scripture to be used at the proper time. It will exercise our hearts as we lovingly seek out those who need to be won to Christ. It will exercise our patience as we deal graciously with those who are blinded by sin and Satan. It will exercise our faith as we trust God to bless our feeble efforts. It will exercise our self-denial as we set aside our personal inclinations and preferences to engage in this delightful but demanding spiritual labor. This spiritual exercise, accompanied by the necessary searching of the Scriptures and prayer, cannot but result in personal growth in the things of God. Possibly this subject, the importance of personal evangelism, can be approached from quite a different angle in a few closing remarks. Personal evangelism is important because we are dealing with eternal matters, and an error here can result in eternal disaster. The solemnity of this matter should not discourage us and deter us from a holy determination to engage in, but it should solemnize us with its importance and cast us wholly upon God. Someone has well written, "Our work is solemn, therefore we dare not trifle. Our work is difficult, therefore we must not relax. Our opportunities are brief, therefore we must not delay. Our prize will be glorious, therefore we must not faint." In view of this eternal importance, then, of our work, we should enter upon it with a sense of total dependence upon God. He and He alone can truly save a soul. The new birth is not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We should carry on our work in a spirit of continual prayer, constantly lifting our hearts to God for guidance, for wisdom, and for blessing. He knows where the receptive heart is, and will lead us to the right person. He knows the hidden longings of the heart, and will enable us to say the right word at the right time. He knows the hindrances and obstacles that the enemy of souls is putting in the way of the inquirer, and He will overcome such by His Holy Spirit. Let us ever remember that we are working in blessed partnership with the convicting, illuminating, regenerating Spirit of God. Before we leave our study on the importance of personal evangelism, let us sum up the ground we've covered in this way. It is important because it is the will of God and can bring much glory to His name. It is important because it is based on the work of Christ, His death and resurrection being the keynote of our testimony. It is important because of the worth of a precious soul destined either to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And is important because through engaging in it, we can make progress in the things of God and become more like our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of soul winners.